Good evening. It's lovely to be back with you. I would like to, in some ways, kind of follow on a wee bit from this morning's talk. And we talked a lot in the story this morning about empires and things that can perhaps distract us from following God. And I think one of those big empires within our culture at the moment is screens and materialism and things that distract us from having time to actually just hear and listen from God. And tonight I want us to talk about what it means to be still to hear from God. I don't know if any of you have been on holiday in Cornwall before. Has anyone been down to Cornwall recently? Well, I had our third child earlier on this year in March, and we decided that to go abroad on holiday with such a wee one would just be a total nightmare. And my other two kids are ginger, so we thought, well, if it's going to be another ginger, then they're just going to burn, so we won't go abroad. And so we had this great idea that we'd go down to Cornwall, and we'd drive down to Cornwall. And we didn't think that the drive down to Cornwall was all that far until we Google mapped it. And it turns out Cornwall is a far way to go. We planned it so well. So we decided, right, we're going to have to split this journey up in some way. So we'll go down to about Worcester and we'll stay overnight. So what we decided we'd do is that we would leave after work and we'd go from kind of five, maybe drive a wee hour or so, get the kids their tea, get them into their jammies, and hopefully they'll be able to sleep. So that part of the journey would be okay. They would be asleep for most of it, hopefully, so everything would be fine. But then we've still got the next day to go. So how on earth can we make sure that the kids are entertained enough and be able to just like not be a riot in the back? And so we decided what we would do is we would get movies downloaded onto our phones or onto our laptop, and we would get them headphones, and they could just plug them in, and then we would be smooth sailing, and it worked. It was a textbook journey down to Cornwall, 9 hours of just bliss. But in some ways, as we were going down there, I was thinking, man, I remember in my childhood having to travel, and we had a caravan growing up, and we went down to the south of France in the car. This was like 2 days solid, just driving in a car. And we didn't have any of these things, and the games that you had to play, the things you had to do. And I was like, man, I've in some ways robbed my kids. I've comatosed my kids for this 9-hour journey. And not allowed them to. I remember at one point on that journey being like, look, there's a tractor outside, and they're just like locked in. And although it was an amazing journey for us, there was this point within me that's like, man, we're comatosing ourselves into our screens, into what can take us away from just seeing what is around us and seeing the things that are there. It is estimated that we consume between 300 and 700 marketing messages a day. The average screen time that we have, and I think I've mentioned this before here, is up to 7 hours a day for most people. There was a piece of research that was done that it was done by Microsoft, and you can Google it if you want. But due to the introduction of smartphones, so in that period, our attention span is now less than a goldfish. it's an actual study that has done that. And The other week there, my son came home from school, and he's like, "Oh, I've got such a sore neck. I've got tech neck." And I was like, "What is tech neck?" He's like, "You know when you've been playing too many screen things and you've been looking down, and there's now a condition called tech neck where our heads are so heavy that if we keep it down too long, then we get tech neck. We get a sore neck." We have this, I would say, empire of distraction, empire of things that comatose us from really hearing from God, really hearing God in everything that we do, whether that's, you know, just looking outside and seeing nature and creation, but also just moments to have stillness, to have silence. It's so easy for us in those points within our lives where we've got a wee bit of time. Perhaps you're out for a meal and your wife goes to the toilet and you're left there and you don't really know what to do. So inevitably you just get your phone to look, just to, you know, make sure that nobody thinks that you're just sitting there by yourself. That you can connect in some way. But in having so much connectivity around us, we're actually getting less in tune with ourselves, in tune with those around us, and ultimately with God. And what I want us to kind of focus on just over the next wee while is, how can we create a posture of stillness within our life? How can we create moments of silence and to hear what it really is that God wants us to say? If you have a Bible, if you could turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, it just says these words. While Elijah was on Mount Sinai, the Lord asked, "Elijah, why are you here?" He answered, "Lord God, all-powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn vow, promised me. They have torn down your altars and killed all your prophets except me, and now they are even trying to kill me. Go and stand on the mountain," the Lord replied. "I want you to see me when I pass by." All at once, a strong wind shook the mountain and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. Next, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Finally, there was a gentle breeze, and when Elijah heard it, he covered his face and his coat. He went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. The Lord asked, "Elijah, why are you here?" There was a gentle breeze, or in the NIV it says a gentle whisper. God was not in the wind or the fire, but God was in the gentle whisper, in the gentle breeze. Elijah was having a really rough time of it, and he was seeking out God, and God came to him in the stillness, in the silence. In Psalm chapter 46, it says these words, "Be still and know that I am God." The translators at the time, when they were translating into firstly the Latin, back in the day, in this country, they translated the words "be still" with the word "vacari," and "vacari" is where we get our English word "vacation," and a vacation is just a holiday. And some people have commented on the fact that they've used this word "vacari," and they have said of this verse to be still and know that I am God, in many ways is to take a break, or take a holiday, take a vacation from being God and let God be God. Take a break from being the God of your life. Take a break from being in control of everything and let God be God. Take a break from being the God of your life and allow God to be the God of your life. What I want us to do, just in the remainder of our time here, is to have some stillness. And I want to lead you through a passage in one of the Psalms. It's Psalm chapter 13. I would rather, I mean, you can look at it. I'm not going to instruct you not to. Don't you dare look at it. But if you would, I would like you not to look at it, but just to hear the words. And I'm going to read it over three times, and then I'm going to just kind of guide you through the passage and make you think of some certain things throughout it. If you want, you can close your eyes, but that's risky at this time. But it might be helpful for you. Otherwise, I just want to read this through. And what I'm going to do, first of all, is I want you to, as I read it, I'm going to read the passage three times over. And as I read it, I want you to look for a word, a phrase, or an idea that really jumps out to you. And as it jumps out to you, just hold on to that word, that phrase, that idea. You don't need to know why or what it is saying, but I just want you to hold that. So let's read the passage together. And I'm reading it from a different version, the Contemporary English Version. How much longer, Lord, will you forget about me? Will it be forever? How long will you hide? How long must I be confused and miserable all day? How long will my enemies keep beating me down? Please listen, Lord God, and answer my prayers. Make my eyes sparkle again, or else I will fall into the sleep of death. My enemies will say, "Now we've won." They will be greatly pleased when I am defeated. I trust your love, and I feel like celebrating because you rescued me. You have been good to me, Lord, and I will sing about you. Psalm 13. How much longer, Lord, will you forget about me? Will it be forever? How long will you hide? How long must I be confused and miserable all day? How long will my enemies keep beating me down? Please listen, Lord God, and answer my prayers. Make my eyes sparkle again, or else I will fall into the sleep of death. My enemies will say, "Now we've won." They will be greatly pleased when I am defeated. I trust your love, and I feel like celebrating. because you rescued me. You have been good to me, Lord, and I will sing about you. Psalm 13. How much longer, Lord, will you forget about me? Will it be forever? How long will you hide? How long must I be confused and miserable all day? How long will my enemies keep beating me down? Please listen, Lord God, and answer my prayers. Make my eyes sparkle again, or else I will fall into the sleep of death. My enemies will say, "Now we've won." They will be greatly pleased when I am defeated. I trust your love, and I feel like celebrating because you rescued me. You have been good to me, Lord, and I will sing about you. In the stillness, I want you to just repeat for me that word, that phrase, that idea that has struck out to you. The Hebrew word for meditate is the word hagar, and it's got this image of a cow chewing the cud, and it was chewing it over. Christian meditation is chewing and chewing, mulling over. And what I want you to do now is, with that word, that phrase, that idea, I want you to ask the Lord, what is this word, this phrase, this idea of, what is your scripture saying to me and my life? What is it saying, perhaps about relationships, perhaps about work, perhaps about your calling, perhaps about something that you feel an urge to do? Begin to meditate on that word, that phrase, that idea, asking the questions, what is this saying in my life, in my relationships, in my work, in my call? the words for listen and obey is the same word in the Hebrew. And when we listen to what God is saying, when we start to meditate upon it, we have to then also obey. Spend the next couple of minutes in prayer. Whatever you have been meditating upon, whatever that word, that phrase has been, open up that conversation with God. Bring your meditations to Him. Begin a conversation with God.
Yeah.